Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting and highlighting business leaders in our area.
And hello again, and welcome. Steve and Julian, what are you laughing about? We haven't even started the show yet.
You're the one who laughed. I did not do anything.
Why are you looking around?
Because I'm excited about today's show. I want to take in the environment around me. What kind of question is that? Okay, I'll do the show with my eyes closed.
That's Steve and Julian. I'm Mike Salmon. This is Gwinnett Business Radio. And now...
How's it going, Mike?
How are you doing? Covering your eyes.
Yeah. You told me not to look around. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
If only we could... I'm so glad we have a room full of professionals, because you and I are not right now. So we're going to turn that around, turn the page, start over, start anew, and have some fun and learn some things today.
There you go. Let's just have them carry the show for us.
It's not hard with you and me.
Wouldn't be the first time. Joining us on the program today is Dr. Maggie Ray. She's with Creating Positive Futures Academic Life Coaching. Also with us today is Liddy Brown with Speed Pro Imaging Marietta, and we're also joined by Nicole Caesar and Holly Nagy. Thank you, Holly. Mm-hmm. With Subaru of Gwinnett and Infinity of Gwinnett, and of course we are broadcasting from the beautiful Subaru of Gwinnett Studios.
That's awesome. What a coincidence.
Yes, and the beautiful graphics in here were done by Speed Pro Imaging Marietta.
Another coincidence.
Yeah, so everything is tied in together. It's a small world.
I love it.
All right, let's start the Get past the nonsense. Get to the important stuff. Dr. Maggie Ray, Creating Positive Futures Academic Life Coaching. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Tell us all about your company now and what you do.
Great. So I work with high school, middle school, and college students on what I would call academic life coaching, which is working on study skills, time management, organization, essentially helping kids develop a lot of skills that are going to be really important for them, both in school and long term later in their life, but that they're often not learning in the classroom.
You are definitely, and this might come out the wrong way, I was going to say you're definitely the smartest person in this room because of her background, but then I realized that's kind of a slight to the other guest, so I won't say that, but you have a very impressive background. Tell us about your background and why you started this business.
Great. Thank you so much. So my background is really in academia more so than in clinical work. So I got my undergraduate degree at Princeton in astrophysics and then went on to Cornell, where I got my PhD in neurobiology and behavior. So what I noticed, I've loved teaching forever, loved working with students. What I've noticed both in the classroom at Cornell and also doing SAT, ACT tutoring with younger kids was that a lot of times the things that were holding students back, it was not their intelligence. So it wasn't how smart they were. It was that they were not organized, that they weren't planning ahead, so they weren't doing the best work they could do. They were holding themselves back because they had low self-confidence. There were all these other things that were getting in their way that had absolutely nothing to do with the content or with their intelligence. And there wasn't really anything that I could see that was helping them address that. You know, I'd studied positive psychology. I understand a lot of the neurobiology of, you know, how our thoughts affect our behavior and all of these things. And kids don't understand that. They never have a place to learn those things. And so that was the impetus behind starting this business.
To a parent that might be listening right now, they're saying, "Oh, she's a tutor," but you're not. Talk more about what makes you different from a tutor or a counselor.
The really big difference between tutoring and coaching is a tutor is going to work with a student on the content, on the material. So they're going to actually teach them what they need to know for their math class. What I'm doing as a coach is I'm working with kids on the strategy. I'm working with kids on how they approach their schoolwork. How are they going into a test? Are they going in thinking, oh gosh, I'm not ready for this. There's no way I'm going to do well. Are they walking in thinking, I've got this. I'm so on top of this. Do they have strategies they can use when they get a question wrong so that they don't panic and get everything else after that wrong? So it's really in the way they approach school rather than the content itself.
Maggie, does the process start with you that the parent comes and says, here's what I'm seeing and here's what I think I need? Or is it also a tag team with that and you saying, let me do an interview, let me talk to you, and let me bring some of what I've noticed to bear? Kind of talk, how would the process start?
That's a great question. So I always start with an interview. I start with, it's actually a two-phase interview. So I start by talking with the parents, exactly like you just said. What are they seeing at home? What are they noticing? What's making them think their student needs some support? Because sometimes it's not a coach that's needed. Sometimes it is a counselor. There might be some issues with anxiety. I work with a lot of kids with ADHD. I have background in ADHD coach training as well. Some of those kids, they haven't been diagnosed, but I'm hearing symptoms of ADD. And so I'll recommend they go and get a diagnosis first and look at that. So there might be other things going on I want them to look at before they come to coaching. So that initial interview, you know, lets me say, is this a student who seems like they're appropriate for coaching in the first place, or is there somewhere else I should refer them first? And then also gives the parents a little bit of a taste of how I work and what I do, because most parents are not familiar with coaching. They've never worked with a coach before. They've worked with a lot of tutors, and so they know how that works. But it lets me share a little bit of my process. And then if it seems like it's a good fit, I actually want to meet with the student as well and make sure that they're on board, talk with them about their goals, about what's going well and not so well for them right now, and really find out if this is something they're motivated to do, because I want the student to drive the process. If the parent, and I think it's a great idea, but the student is not on board, it will not work.
So here's a little follow-up question too. I'm sure there's a lot of parents who might be listening who go, you know, I love the school my kids go to. I love the teachers. They're doing the best job they can. And maybe they're also getting tutoring as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, is it also that you have to kind of convince the teachers and the tutors and let them know what's going on? Or, you know, how do you work together with a teacher? And if they're already getting tutoring, I am hearing that it's not a, well, you don't have to tutor. We really just need to get the coaching. Maybe that is the case sometimes, but also it's, no, the coaching will let the tutoring really take off, or let what the teacher's doing really take off. How do you work together with the other people in the students'
lives?
That's
a great question. I do see it as a very supporting role. So what they're doing in their coaching sessions is going to make everything else they do in their life better, because it changes who they are. It's really getting at who they are, what motivates them, how are they approaching the things they do in their life. And so that's going to come out at school. It's going to come out in their tutoring sessions. I see a lot of students who are also working with a counselor or with a therapist, or who are working with an educational consultant to pick colleges. So I don't see my work as in competition with any of those people. It's really a supporting thing that helps those kids excel in all of those contexts.
One of the things, and we're talking with Dr. Maggie Ray here on Gwinnett Business Radio, one of the things I'm hearing is something that I'm familiar with my kids is they know the content, they know the subject matter, they're smart as heck, they're just not good test takers. I hear that a lot among students.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an area where you can help. What are maybe, and that I may have just answered the question, but what's one of the more common reasons that you find parents reach out to you?
Right at this time of year with final exams, we're in the midst of them right now. That not a good test taker thing definitely comes up. I just met with a student yesterday who kind of called in a panic about test anxiety. How do we address test anxiety? A lot of times during the year, I get calls from parents about that my kid is procrastinating. You know, they're waiting until the last minute to get things done. They just stayed up until 2 a.m. to finish a paper. How do we get out of this cycle?
It's like she knows my son.
She has a camera inside our homes.
Yes.
With our children. How's she do this?
Well, because I see the same issues over and over and over again.
So I want to ask, and this was not a pre-show prep question, so if I stun you a little bit, I'll give you a little extra time.
Give it a
and
go.
I'll try
yep.
and phrase it long. I'm known for being wordy. You talked about ADHD. There are other obstacles that children deal with, Asperger's, autism, spectrum, things like that. Are there other diagnoses that you've seen that you know you can help with?
Anxiety is a really common one. So I see a lot of kids who have anxiety, whether it's social anxiety or just generalized anxiety, that really affects things like self-talk, things like learned optimism, resilience. A lot of these things that I'm working with kids on in terms of positive psychology concepts can really help kids who have anxiety. So that's something that, you know, I'm not working directly on the anxiety. I'm not a clinical therapist, but we can work on some of their strategies for dealing with it when it comes up, and how it affects them in the classroom. So that's a big one, the anxiety. Definitely ADHD. That's a lot of my students in terms of the organization, the planning, developing that executive function ability. Really, really important for those kids. And I do see some students who are dealing with Asperger's or something of that nature as well. I see a lot of kids who have dyslexia or some sort of processing disorder, or other learning challenges that are making it hard for them to really pick up the information in the classroom the way that they would want to.
Are there ages that you kind of focus on as far as the kids you work with? And then my second follow-up question is, how does it typically work? Do you, is it like, you know, do you work with the kids for one or two times? Is it a month long session? I guess it would maybe depend on the student. How does that work as well?
Mm-hmm. It really does depend on the student. So in terms of ages that I work with, it would go any, all the way from middle school through college. So I started off just working with high school and college students. I recently expanded to middle school as well. The way I work with kids in those different ages does differ. So with younger kids, with middle school, for example, parents are going to be more involved. I like to work with those kids only in person, so we don't do Skype sessions for that age. And I want them actually, I want to see them in the office. I want to sit down and talk with a parent because they need a little bit more support at home from parents. High school, they can be a little bit more independent. We're still checking in with parents, but we can do Skype sessions as well for you know, kids who are a little farther away.
So
even, college, it's pretty much all Skype.
Okay, so even though you're based in Roswell, you can work with students anywhere.
Absolutely. I have an Atlanta office, I have a Roswell office, and I work with college kids all over through Skype. So
mm-hmm. Maggie, I want to ask kind of a little bit of a story question. Undergrad in astrophysics.
Yes.
How did that lead into, because I noticed there's not the, it's not a typical educational background, mm-hmm. and you're not an educator, but you work in education. So how did astrophysics lead to where you are today?
That's a great question. Well, I'm going to tell you the short version because there's a long version and a short version. So, I mean, really what I see in terms of my career trajectory, it's been a gradual progression from very abstract, intellectual, how can I do the most challenging thing that I could possibly do? Because I feel like that's what we learn as students. The harder the classes are, the better, right? You want to take honors is better than regular. AP is better than honors. So the most challenging class you can take, the hardest you can push yourself intellectually, that's the way to go. And so that's really what I was after when I got into college. It was, okay, well, I'm really interested in ideas. I'm curious about learning complicated things. What's the hardest thing I could learn here at Princeton? Well, it would be astrophysics. So that's what I did. And I thought, well, I'm going to have any option will be open to me. If I can graduate with honors from Princeton in astrophysics, I can do anything. And so the thing was, after that, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, where does my life go after this? How much do I care about this personally, about learning these things? And I kind of realized, well, this isn't as connected with my day-to-day life, anything in reality that we ever see. I mean, the things you're working on there are so out of our normal reality. It's very disconnected from day-to-day life. And I felt like, okay, well, I actually got really interested in astrobiology, and through that got interested in more studying intelligence in the universe, and in particular, evolution of intelligence here on Earth. Kind of led me towards the neurobiology and behavior path. It's just been a gradual progression, you know, from there wanting to get into more meaningful things, dealing with my own health challenges, kind of that sort of midlife crisis coming early, thinking, what am I doing with my life? And realizing, oh my goodness, what I'm doing is very, it's interesting intellectually, but it's not making a difference in anybody's life. And that's really what propelled me to get very much into, let's apply this practically and work with real people and try to make a real difference.
What's fascinating about the story is you pushed yourself and challenged yourself, but then you haven't approached what you do with, well, just try harder. Well, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Instead, let's look at what's going on, mm-hmm. and how anyone can challenge themselves to take the next steps intellectually. That's fascinating. So I got to give a follow-up question because I can't just go, wow, great job, and then end it there. Referrals by, is there relationships with teachers and schools, and can they refer out? How does that work? I mean, apart from parents listening to this and mm-hmm. going, I got a caller. Who, you know, are there teachers that can do referrals and things like that?
I get a lot of referrals from other people who work with teenagers. So this could be educational consultants. It could be tutoring companies. It could be counselors, psychologists, schools, you know, teachers who are seeing this in the classroom, learning specialists at schools who maybe don't have just the time to work with these kids on the level that they need. So there are all sorts of ways that people can refer.
I'm sure we have a lot of folks have a lot of questions, and unfortunately we're out of time. So for parents that want to reach out to you and find out more, give us all, you know, phone numbers, websites, where can they get this information?
Okay, great. So the best website for me, it's called creatingpositivefutures.com. And they can reach me through email at maggie@creatingpositivefutures.com. Phone is 678-459-4669. And I also have a final exam checklist and final exam strategy session. If parents want to take advantage of that, they're certainly welcome to. It's a free gift on my website. If they just go to planningforfinals.com, they can get access to that free checklist.
Stephen and you and I are going to be checking that out tonight, aren't we?
I would imagine some people would go there and go, there are no answers to the questions of my final on here. Come on. I thought I was getting some help preparing for finals.
We don't endorse cheating.
Yeah, that's not the preparation we're talking about.
Planningforfinals.com.
I like it.
All right, Maggie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, our next guest here in the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios from Speed Pro Imaging Marietta is the president of the company, Liddy Brown. Good morning, Liddy.
Good morning, Mike.
And of course, I sit here proudly saying Subaru of Gwinnett Studios because we have the logos behind us. The entire wall is covered with the Subaru logo. We've got the big stand-up rollout poster here. We've got mic flags with the Subaru logo. You did all this.
Thank you. Yes, we did.
You do great work, but today we want to talk more about trade shows. It's a big time of the year for trade shows. The summer's coming up. How can you help those businesses that are going to do a trade show and they want to have something there to make a presence? What can you offer them?
Well, first of all, we can offer them quite a bit to enhance the look of their booth. One of the things that's most important, and I know all of us have probably been to a trade show, you can walk by one booth and it's like, wow, this kind of attracts you and brings you in. And then you walk by another one and you wonder why you just kept walking by it because there's nothing there that really would draw you to that. So your artwork, your signage, you know, all of the things, your view, not necessarily all the trinkets that you give away, bring people to your booth. And so what we do, because we produce the backdrops for trade shows, the retractable banners, tablecloths. People think that, well, I don't have a lot of money to spend for a trade show display because they can get quite expensive. But if you just had your logo and information on that tablecloth when you're walking in versus the standard black one that the trade show display people give you, it kind of sets you apart just with that. Another inexpensive way to go about it is to have retractable banners, banner stands that have not only your information, you want more on there than just your name and your logo, but almost what does it do? What does it tell you when you look at particularly the one here in the studio? You know, it's got a microphone, it's got Business Radio X, you know, so you know that this is all about the radio. It's all about business, and it shows you're on air. So it tells the story of who you are and what you do by just one quick look. I love the wall graphics, you know, when you can have that step and repeat kind of repeating. It does draw your attention to that, and you know that it's Subaru Gwinnett. You know, you see all the logos that are there, and that's
everybody,
what drives it.
Everybody walks in, the first thing that goes, whoa, look at that, because it does just stand out.
Right. You can actually produce those type of backgrounds pretty inexpensively for your trade show. You can get them in the size of an 8x10 or an 8x12 graphic that's easy to put up, easy to take down. You don't have to go and hire somebody to put your whole setup together, particularly if you're a small business, but you can still look just as attractive and have all the same whistles and bells.
So, Liddy, if you could get into a room, and you are with this interview, with all kinds of people who have a chance to do trade shows, what are some of the most common mistakes and the biggest most common mistakes that, apart from just using the black tablecloth, I like that, that's good. What are some of the most common mistakes that people make, either overspending or underspending on their imaging at a trade show?
A couple things. One, I think one common mistake is that you can be too busy. You know, you have too much stuff in there. Too many things for people to look at, so you can't really tell what they do. I think that's almost as bad as not enough stuff.
Right.
So when you look at the extremes. And the other thing I will tell you, people sit behind the table. I'm a salesperson from 35 years in corporate sales. When you're trying to bring people in and determine what you do, when you're sitting there waiting for the potential customer or client to come to you versus getting up and walking around. We have a trade show booth display, one of the high tops that you really stand behind, and it cuts that distance between you and the customer from that 6-foot table that you're standing in front of. So it doesn't matter how nice a booth you have. If you're sitting there waiting on them to come to you, you may not draw a lot of attention.
Now, when it comes to working with businesses who are getting ready to do trade shows, I assume you guys are more than just, you know, what do you have, and just give them. I mean, you also help in the counseling and the consultation of you know, giving some ideas. Hey, look at these. I mean, do you guys give multiple choices and say, or also give some artistic direction? Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, we're actually putting together one of the consultants that I work with gave me a good idea of packaging. So because people will come in and say, well, what do we want? You know, well, I think I want one of these. I want one of these. I want one of these, you know, and you're saying, okay, what all do you need? And, you know, you can get a 3-package, you know, a tablecloth, a retractable, and some, you know, some giveaways, and not spend a whole lot of money. You can go to that next level where you want it to be more dressy or more attractive, where you get a hop-up background, a table booth, a tall boy that it's easy to stand behind. So we've kind of identified really probably 2 or 3 good package of materials that you can get.
And I like that because you started by saying we've all been to a trade show. And I think that lends itself a little bit to packaging. And then they could start with a package. And if they really wanted, I really want to add this other little thing, then you can. And also in the packaging, that also helps them avoid what you said. There's too little and there's too much. Right. So you don't want to pass something with, oh, I've got a little stand with my business card to, I can't even think. I got a headache looking at this
exactly
trade show booth. So when it comes to the imaging of the trade show, is it more than just the banners? Is it also printed material as well?
Yeah, the printed material is good, but I think we all know in the age of electronics and all of that, people don't take a lot of printed material with them. There's a lot of companies will even put their basic printing information on a flash drive and give those away as a giveaway. You still got to look at their stuff before you can erase it and use it for yours. But it does give them that information without a lot of paper. But still, by and large, when you go to a trade show, you will see handouts, trifolds. You'll see a lot of single sheets. Trifolds, I think, are really good because it's small and easy versus 5 or 6 sheets of, you know, of paper that you may get. And it's getting more and more challenging to come up with the types of trinkets that people will pick up and look at and use. And all of those things are just eye recognition. It's, okay, well, I actually got that, and, oh, I need to call them, you know, and it hits something that they want. The main thing I will say is that you've got to make sure that it's branded well with who you are, with your website and your phone number. You'll be surprised. Look at some of the stuff you'll pick up, and they won't have their phone number on there. You're like, man, I was going to call them, but nobody's going to go look up their phone number. Websites are almost more important than phone numbers nowadays because people automatically go to the internet to look for you.
Let me ask you a quick question, and that is, can you give us an example or a story of maybe one of the more elaborate or crazy trade show displays that you were asked to put together?
Well, you know, when we first started...
Is there anything you won't do? Or at least try. You'll try anything, won't you?
We'll try anything that is, you know, proper and clean in business. Let's just say that. But one of the companies that we did, we had a metal frame with some metal type display. And we actually had one in our office, and they came in and they're like, man, we want one of those. They are a recycling company. And so what we did, actually, we let them, they rented the one we had, and they created their own artwork. And so think about it. It's a recycling of metals, all types of metals and aluminums and all that. And so to have the booth out of aluminum and metal, it really drew people to their booth because it looked a lot like what they do. And so their graphics were very much a lot of the trucking that they had and how they go and pick up your metals. And so very high quality images on the pictures. That's what's important too. Get a good artist, a good designer, and you know, marketing person that knows how to put that image together. We'll get somebody that will bring a business card for us and say, "Well, can you blow that up to, you know, a 8x10 backdrop?" And you're saying, "Well, you're not going to get a. It's going to be very pixelated." But having people that know how to get the high quality image on the graphics so that when you blow it up, you don't lose your resolution. So, but that's one of the more unique ones because their booth matched a lot of what they did.
Gotcha. Well, Liddy Brown with Speed Pro Imaging Marietta, you guys do great work. If anybody wants to see the work, you mentioned your shop, your studio, where you can walk in and see all the great stuff. Anybody on this side of town comes into the studio here, they'll see, have a first eye view of everything that you do. And so you have clients all over Atlanta, so don't be fooled. Even though they're based in Marietta, they have lots of clients here in Gwinnett. They can help you anywhere in the Atlanta area. For those that want to find out more, give us the website, phone number, all that good stuff, Liddy.
All right. You can on our website. It's speedpromarietta.com. And our phone number is 770-693-1767. And we'd love to hear from you.
Liddy, great to see you.
Great to be here.
All right. Liddy Brown here from Speed Pro Imaging Marietta. Joining us now on the program from Subaru of Gwinnett and Infinity of Gwinnett, it is Nicole Caesar and Holly Nagy here. And Nicole, you're in charge of marketing for the dealerships?
Yes, for both dealerships, the digital marketing. I just started helping out with the events too, but my main focus is the digital marketing.
And Holly, I know you oversee a lot of customer service and help Nicole as well, so we appreciate you both being here. You guys had a recent charity golf tournament. We talked about it here on Business Radio X. I think we also talked about it on 92.9 Sports Radio in Atlanta as well. Tell us how the golf tournament went last week, what it was for, and share some of the information.
The golf tournament went great. The weather was beautiful. It couldn't have gone any better. It was at the St. Ives Country Club. And this was actually the second time I was involved in the golf tournament. It's been going on for almost 8 years. And Holly's actually been involved in it since the beginning. And she has a lot more information to share about that.
Yes, this year it was at St. Ives. We've done different courses in the past because we have players that come out every year, so we try to switch it up. We've done Country Club of Gwinnett, Lake Lanier, Hamilton Mill, Chateau Alon. But this year was at St. Ives, and it was a beautiful course. We have a good time. We had about 102 golfers come out. It's kind of an all-day affair. We do registration. We feed you lunch, and then you play 18 holes, and then we have a dinner and an awards banquet. There's different contests that go along the way. Closest to the pin, straightest drive, longest drive. But it's a good time. People come out. There's players that play all the time, and then we have golfers that basically just play in our tournament, you know, once a year. So it's good for everybody, and it's such a great cause. We do earn a good bit. This is our biggest event.
Well, tell us the cause, obviously, the reason you guys are playing golf.
So the Back to School Backpack Program is a organization for the Subaru and Infiniti, and it helps Gwinnett County children that are less fortunate get them ready for school each year. So in the past, our goal has been about 750 backpacks per year. So I mean, that adds up over the years, and we actually reach out to different organizations as well as to schools to find out which kids need those supplies and need the book bags. Because at first we just supplied the book bags, and then over the years we stuffed the book bags with supplies
and even hygiene products too.
And so this has grown over the years, and as of today, as we're doing the show, and there's no telling when folks might be listening to the actual podcast, but as of today, the tournament just happened. But people that might want to sign up for future tournaments or future golf events, it would be what, infinityofgwinnett.com would be the website?
Either infinityofgwinnett.com or subugwinnett.com. We also have a backtoschoolbackpackprogram.org. You can go there as well to register. We have people that have done it every year, people that it's their first time doing it. I mean, this year it was very successful. I mean, there's been a lot of new faces. And it's not only a good charity for the kids for Gwinnett County, but it's also a great opportunity for businesses to network and to kind of just reach out into their community.
I was going to ask, if people didn't make it to the tournament, obviously this year and before next year, we're going to have the start of another school year. They can give directly either a donation of money, or they can actually bring in backpacks. Is that possible?
So we actually, even after the tournament, we sell, we do a raffle that happens in August, and we encourage you to buy as many raffle tickets as you want. It's $25 per raffle ticket. And this goes towards a raffle for a cruise. This year is a Norwegian cruise for a value up to $3,500. So all of the profits go back to school backpack program. So if you couldn't play in the actual tournament, you can actually still buy the raffle tickets and it will help out with that cost.
So what they're saying is I have a better chance if I do the raffle ticket of getting a cruise than I do of hitting a ball into a fairway.
Possibly.
Oh, no, not possibly. It is for sure.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, if you had me odds of hitting out of the woods, then I play golf because I do that all the time.
Maybe we'll add that one next year.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we move on, because you've got another event that I want to talk about. But at the tournament, Stephen, recently, they have a partner out there. You have an insurance company, Concierge Insurance.
Yes.
And Rob Young kind of oversees that at your dealership. Talk about Concierge Insurance and their partnership with you. And then I've got a quick interview that we have with Rob that we'll play from the tournament last week.
We have a unique relationship with Concierge Insurance Company because they offer a insurance. You can get homeowners, auto insurance, renters, whatever you're looking for, but they offer it internally at our dealership. But you can also get a quote online. But it's they are partner with multiple insurance companies, mm-hmm. so they can kind of offer you a quote from multiple companies so it helps you with your search and it saves you time.
All right, Nicole, here's that interview with Rob Young of Concierge Insurance.
Concierge Insurance, we started about 3.5 years ago at Infinity and Gwinnett, and we're an independent agency inside the dealership. Our job is basically to talk to most of the customers at Infinity and try to just real low key. Hey, we have a service we offer. We can shop rates with a bunch of different companies, and you know, we'd love to help you out. I've had some people that have really signed up and able to save a lot of money by doing that, so that's worked out really well. Did that for about a year at Infinity, then we went to Subaru, and so we work with them as well. And the whole idea is just work with our customer base, offer our service, become another branch of what Infinity and Subaru do so well.
This is your, fourth year with the tournament? Yep. Talk about the putting contest that you're overseeing.
We oversee the putting contest, which simply is somebody comes out here and they try to get closest to the hole. And if they get closest to the hole, they win a putter. So the best putter wins a new putter. So yeah, but it's cool to be involved with this. It's really great because what they're doing for the kids that, you know, don't have anything. And you think about your own kids going to school and how difficult sometimes it can be to just the logistics of buying all the stuff for them, but then when you don't even have the money to do that, and how it's really great to see kids being able to get all that when they don't really wouldn't normally have anything. They just show up to class with nothing. So
the chance for the golfers to donate a little bit more money by participating in the golf contest. It's a pretty long putt out here. How do you decide how long the putt should be, and how's it gone today?
We just kind of arbitrarily said, Leon and I sat down here earlier, we shot a few and said, okay, that looks like something to be difficult for us, so I guess it'd be difficult for them too. And what they do is they just buy tickets. In the packet, they get one ticket, and then they have to buy extras if they want other shots. And, you know, one of the guys that got it in today, he had, I think, 6 or 7 tickets. The guy that won last year, he probably bought 10 or 12. So the more you buy, the better chance you got at making it.
All right, and that was out at St. Ives Golf Club. You could probably hear some of the fun in the background. That was probably Holly and Nicole having a good time at the golf course. I do want to add, Stephen, that after that interview, I went ahead and I tried the putt, and I made it.
Does that mean you got a putter?
No, because I didn't buy a raffle ticket or a ticket for it.
What a waste.
I just wanted
you should have
see.
At least plunked money down.
It's for the kids, Mike.
She pulled an It's for the Kids on you.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
You should.
Nicole.
He's going to donate a book bag for that.
Thank you very much.
I think Gwinnett Business Radio, we're going to donate a book bag.
Oh, thank you.
We should.
Nicole, you had one last comment about the golf tournament?
Yeah, going back to what Rob was saying earlier, you know, Concierge has helped us out. They've been the judges for a putting contest. And wait,
judges?
It's not in.
What judging has to go on there?
They oversee the easiest job. Some people,
you know, because he didn't win that putter, he's a little bit on edge.
Were their backs turned?
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
He got up to about 2 feet and went, it went in.
So, but yeah, that we we have a good time with we have a good time with all of the players that come out. And one thing I forgot to mention, you know, we make sure they have a good time, and there's lots of little prizes, and they have a lot of fun. Last year, we also did a hole-in-one contest, and someone actually got the hole-in-one and won a what was it, a Q50 Sport.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it was his birthday, so very happy.
It was his birthday, and he got a hole-in-one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the biggest.
You think of what I'm thinking?
The golf gods were with him, or somebody kind of kicked it in. Look over there.
Well, we had someone overseeing that as well.
Yes, definitely. And then, you know, the best part of the tournament is the winners. They get to play in the pro-am for the Greater Gwinnett Championship. And last, so this year for the Greater Gwinnett Championship was the first year that someone from our tournament was able to play. So that's a huge deal. So that's a extra incentive for people to come out and play with us.
That is very cool. All right. Just Google like back to school backpack program, go to Infinity of Gwinnett. And that website for backpack was also
backtoschoolbackpackprogram.org, so, or you can go to Infinity Gwinnett or SubaruGwinnett.com.
So no matter when you listen to this show, I mean, you can you know, go there, get the information that you need. All right, we try to keep the show timeless because there's no telling when folks are listening to the broadcast, but we're going to break that rule real quick because this weekend, for anybody that listens to the show listening live right now or listening in the next couple days, we've got Woofstock going on at the Suwannee Town Center. Real quickly, Nicole and Holly, tell us about Woofstock and your involvement there.
So Woofstock is an event actually held for Star 94, but this is a event that Subaru Gwinnett partners with. It's one of our largest events of the year. It's such a it's just such a good cause because you have over 50 nonprofit rescue animal rescues that are there, as well as you have food vendors and a lot of contests. There's a lot of activities to do there. And we actually have a booth at Woofstock. And last year, we were giving out free name tags for all the animals. And we actually engraved them on site there. So we do a lot of freebies, and we just have a lot of fun. So I suggest anyone that has an animal, a bird, a cat, a dog, whatever, to come out and have fun.
Name tags for the animals. Hello, my name is Rover. Is that what you were doing?
It's when they get lost, Mike.
Oh,
they put a phone number on it, and people. Now, I was going to say all those different animals, you know, dogs and cats together. That could be interesting.
You'd be surprised the animals that are there. You'd be very surprised. There's been cats on leashes. There's been, there's been birds. All of the above.
Most unique animal we've seen at Woofstock. Anybody?
Iguana. Oh, I saw this really big bird and some very interesting. Attire for dogs as well. So, I mean, it's all out there, and it's a lot of cuteness going on.
Nice.
Well, Nicole, Holly, you guys obviously have nothing to do. I mean, you just sit around.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Congratulations on the wonderful golf tournament, and hopefully we can help you make it bigger and better next year. The Woofstock is wonderful. We appreciate the partnership with Business Radio X. You guys are doing a lot in the community, and thank you so much for joining us and sharing a lot of the stuff you're doing with us today.
Thank you for having us.
All right, Nicole and Holly from Subaru of Gwinnett and Infinity of Gwinnett. A quick reminder that you can enjoy this program or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio programs anytime, day or night, 24/7, by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. You can also download any of these shows on iTunes. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at Gwinnett Radio X. For our producer, Trey Odom, and for Stephen Julian.
You know, Mike, I was happy to do something, give back to the community for Gwinnett Business Radio. So I have volunteered you to oversee the cleanup at Woofstock this Saturday. So I know you're excited to do that and give back to all those pets.
I am feeling the love from you today, Stephen.
That's right.
It's been unbelievable.
And we're going to smell it later this weekend.
Yeah. Again, thank you to Dr. Maggie Ray for joining us and Liddy Brown from Speed Pro Imaging. I'm Mike Salmon. We will see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.